1 hour of selfless service beats 10 hours or 100 hours of cold calling every day of the week. So if you really want to be a badass, go figure out how many people you could strategically help and see how much comes your way. But you got to care about the long game. You got to be focused on the long game.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Daisy. We interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firm. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. My name is Kevin Daisy, and I'm your host. Today, I have a new friend of mine who I met thanks to Louise Scott at the Eight Figure Firm Conference in Chicago. Great conference. Louise is doing great things. And I met Jonathan. We kind of hit it off. We talked about a few different business strategies, and I've been talking to them about some marketing ideas and stuff like that, and really learn more about him and his business. So he's in commercial real estate, but I'm going to let him kind of introduce what he does, how he does it, and how he helps law firms in that particular way as well. So Jonathan, man, welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother. It was great meeting you and appreciate you inviting me to come on.
Absolutely. And so you're in Phoenix, Arizona, right?
Yeah. We include our international partners. We have about 600 people around the world, and we represent the tenant or the occupier of space, which is pretty unique in the commercial real estate industry that I'm a part of.
Yeah, I mean, your brand is really on point. It's really cool, and kind of who you focus on is a little bit different than commercial real estate broker, if you will. Tell us more about, you know, the business and what you do and kind of how you got where you're at, and then we'll kind of get into how law firms should care about that and how you can help. Of course, guys, he runs a very successful business. And we'll be talking, you know, about that. We can learn a lot from what Jonathan's done with his business.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of overlaps. You know, we built an eight-figure firm within the commercial real estate industry in a very specific niche that we'll talk about in a second. But I do think that there are a lot of parallels between kind of the service side of commercial real estate and the service side of the legal world. But to understand kind of me and my story and how we got here, I'll give you a quick overview because I've had a somewhat of a unique upbringing. I was actually raised a Christian missionary kid in Papua New Guinea. So my parents taught me to love and serve and give, and I grew up overseas. And when we came back to the States, because my grandfather died, I had this sort of rude awakening. It was like, wow, we're poor and everybody else around us is rich. And I don't like this poor stuff. So how do I get rich? And I sort of stumbled into commercial real estate. I was going to be an attorney. I was a political science major at UCLA, got straight A's, I was summa cum laude. And at the end of my junior year, my favorite professor pulled me aside and he said, you don't want to be an attorney. You want to do something more entrepreneurial. And of course, I didn't know what entrepreneurial meant. And so I went and looked at it and it kind of said, you know, starting your own business and doing something more, you know, where you can create your own opportunity. And I didn't know what any of that meant. And I sort of stumbled into commercial real estate because a buddy of mine said that was entrepreneurial and I can make a lot of money. And as I got in, I realized really quickly, wow, this is a cutthroat, take no prisoners, dog eat dog, swim the sharks kind of environment. And here I was, this sort of sheltered, not super sheltered, but, you know, sheltered missionary kid, having grown up in somewhat of a strict religious household, that was now seeing sort of all of the different sides of business. And, you know, I had convinced myself, because of the fact that my parents were so into helping people, I'd convinced myself that that led to the poorhouse, right? If my parents are poor and all they do is help people, then 1 + 1 = 2. And that must be what happens if you try to help people. But I was miserable, you know, like I leaned in, I did what I saw other people around me doing. I became Mr. Cutthroat, Mr. Ruthless, but I was miserable and I was, you know, misaligned with my core values, but I felt trapped because I wanted the success that I felt like I needed to do these things to get. And then about 15 years ago, probably even longer now, maybe 20 years ago, I go to this conference and the speaker gets up and he starts having this chat about how you can succeed by helping people. And it was bizarre, right? Because I'm like listening to him, I'm like, is this, sounds like my dad. Like this is, I've never heard this before. And so I went up to him afterwards and I was like, so is this really true? Like, do you really do this? Or is this just something you say to sound cool, right? To sound like you're a good guy in front of an audience. And he goes, no, this is really what I do. And I said, well, how does it work? And he said, well, think about it as the difference between hunting and farming. And he said, what you're doing right now is you're hunting. And you have to get up every day and you got to go get another piece of business and you churn through that and you got to get up and go do it all over again. He goes, what if you were farming? What if you were just investing in relationships and figuring ways to help them and go above and beyond and selflessly serve them and create value for them? And then over time, you've watered enough seeds and grown enough plants where you get a natural harvest and it becomes self-perpetuating. And it made sense to me. And I said, wow, I can see myself doing that. And it was more naturally aligned with how I operate anyways, having been raised the way I was raised. So I decided to reinvent myself. And Kevin, that was a brutal, long, hard road. When you're in a commercial real estate firm that has that traditional kind of cutthroat culture, and you decide to be different, people aren't exactly clapping you on the back.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, like what? Did you fall and hit your head? Like, what are you talking about? And one of the things that when I went up to that speaker and I asked him, I said, you know, if this is true, right, and you really do this, how come I've never heard of it before? And how come I don't know other people that are doing it? Which seemed like an obvious question to me at the time. And he said, because it takes too long. And I said, well, what's too long? He goes, well, you know, you're looking right now for instant gratification. You want to go get a deal, close the deal, and get paid right now.
Yeah.
He said, this is about playing the longer game. And, you know, this is a 4 to 5 year reinvention. And I was like, wow, 4 to 5 years. So, but I decided to do it. It appealed to me. It resonated with me. And I decided I was going to reinvent myself. And, you know, again, it's all fun and games when you're doing it year one, but year three, when you're still not making any money, your partners tend to think you're kind of a crazy person. But after I just wouldn't give up, Kevin. Like I felt it. I could feel that it was working and it was resonating within me. And I decided that no matter what, I was going to stick it out. And after about 5 years, just like that speaker predicted, I started to get referrals and that gave me more to help other people. And it turned into this sort of avalanche of referrals. And then now I had a new problem, which was, how do I scale this? And do I really want to scale this kind of culture when it's misaligned with the overall culture of the organization I'm in? So Here in Arizona, when you want to have an epiphany, you go to Sedona. That's where the crystals are. And, you know, you align with the forces. And anyway, so I'm in Sedona kind of, you know, meditating and brainstorming, and just hits me. It's like, man, you have the opportunity to actually change an industry, to actually show that you don't have to be a ruthless shark to win, that you could actually get ahead by helping other people. And I got excited about it and decided that I was going to be an entrepreneur and I was going to, you know, go create a firm that changed the industry, that really transformed what I believe to be a, you know, very cutthroat industry. So that's what we did. And, you know, it's been nothing short of incredible, Kevin. You know, we decided we were going to pick a side. If you look at traditional commercial real estate firms, they primarily represent landlords, and then they try to represent some tenants at the same time.
Yep.
Puts them in heavy conflict because really their allegiances are to these landlords. So we said, we're going to draw a line in the sand. We're only going to represent the tenant. We're only going to represent the user, whether you buy or lease, doesn't matter to us, but we're only going to represent the person that needs space. And it has been extraordinary as we've just, you know, gone from startup 13 years ago to, you know, being named the industry disruptor by USA Today and one of the largest independent firms of our kind in the country. I wrote a book, it hit number one on the Wall Street Journal list, and it's just been this incredible ride. But really, the message is simple. It's like the title of my book is You Don't Have to Be Ruthless to Win. So this whole concept is, What if in a cutthroat industry, you could play the game differently and still be successful? And what if you could actually be extraordinarily successful by doing it that way? You know, so day in, day out, that's what we're doing. And I think that's a practical message to the legal world, because I think you would admit the legal world has some of the same characteristics that the commercial real estate world does, outside looking in.
Well, even in my industry, and bravo, I mean, to all that. For one, I bet you're, yeah, a lot more, a lot happier with your work and everything switching to what you did. So it's not just that you scaled and made more money and things like that, but you enjoyed, I bet, a lot more of what you're doing. So there's other benefits to it. But yeah, my industry, I mean, marketing for law firms is pretty cutthroat as well. So I feel like I've been doing the same kind of stuff that you do. I work off referrals, We don't push people. We don't sell hard. It's like, hey, we're here if you want us. And we usually win a lot of people because of that versus like a lot of other agencies like MySpace are like, just sell hardcore, call you every day, lock into long-term contracts. It's like, that's just, it's not the way I'm going to do it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, because what it doesn't do, Kevin, is it doesn't build trust. It builds obligation, right? The difference between trust and obligation is huge. I want people that trust me that know I have their back and then know I'm going to fight until the end for them, right? Like that doesn't come with contracts. And we have contracts too. I'm sure you have your own contracts, but like really what it's about is it's about an understanding, right? It's about saying, I'm going to do this for you and just having clarity. You know, I've had plenty of people call me for whatever reason. And, you know, I always want to work with them. I always want to be flexible. But the mindset of everything we do is, and I look at it through this lens too of tenants traditionally are dramatically underserved in real estate negotiations. When we look at leases, you know, typically we'll start with any potential engagement by doing a free review of somebody's lease. And we'll usually be able to identify 20 to 30 areas at a minimum that either were gross negligence or just, you know, poor negotiation that are not in their favor, right? And so if you think about why is that the case? Well, it's because these brokerage firms, they don't want to upset these landlords and developers that they have these long-standing relationships with. That's their cash cow.
Yep.
And right. So that's why we draw a line in the sand and we say we only represent the user or the tenant, because that's what enables us to have the conflict-free mindset to say, how do we just make sure that at the end of the day, you know, the tenant's getting the best deal? Because I mean, commercial real estate and the cost, I mean, it's the second or third largest cost for most companies.
Yeah. You're talking about 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. It's the least flexible, right? Exactly. Yeah, these are long-term contracts, minimum flexibility, and over half of corporate bankruptcies involve breaking some kind of lease. So this stuff is material, and we believe that because it's sort of an underrepresented community, the tenant community, that by having a ferocious advocate like us, we can help them win in these commercial real estate negotiations. And that really becomes the magic, right? Is empowering these companies to take control back of the real estate process, where they don't just feel like, sort of like when you go into a car dealership, you know, you're getting screwed. You're not exactly sure how, you just want to get out of there as quickly as possible. People have a similar experience with, you know, negotiating a real estate lease. And so, you know, from our perspective, it's like, if you can help the company be empowered, maximize their negotiating leverage, get the flexibility they need should their needs change, make sure the terms are tenant favorable. That's what we ferociously fight for. And that's why we've grown so rapidly.
No, I love it. I mean, yeah, very similar. And that we're not going for a one-time hit to get a client for one. Like, it's no, like we're in bed together when we sign up together, and we want them to refer us more law firms, and they love the whole experience. And when you think about it that way, everything changes. I mean, your sales process, how you handle everything, you know, it just has to change like you have. And so it does take longer to do it this way. You know, it's, and I think that's everyone, when you're young, you're entrepreneur, you want to go. It went instantaneous results. And today more than ever, younger folks, they want everything instantaneously. And so it's hard to say, hey, well, it's going to take 5 years. Like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, right? I mean, you're really talking about the difference between, I always say, look, I'm not saying that cutthroat doesn't work. It obviously works. There's a lot of people doing it. But I'm simply suggesting that there's a better way. And to your point earlier, the experience of helping people is personally very rewarding to me. I don't know very many people that it's not rewarding to, right? We all know how to serve. We all know how to love people. We do it in our homes and in our social circles and whatever. But then somehow we get to business, Kevin, and we're like, we got to go put on our tough suit and go to battle. And I think the reality is that,
yeah,
you know, that's not necessary. And I think that the experience of fighting all the time is exhausting, and you're always looking over your shoulder. And, you know, I don't want that for my life experience. I want to be working with a bunch of people that I care about, that I love, that I'm always trying to help, you know, that I'm the one looking out for them and they know it. And we just have this really great relationship built, but it's based upon trust. It's based upon love. It's not based upon some, you know, overly negotiated contract that they can't get out of, so they're forced to work with me. It's like, those are completely different things. You know, the bait and switch, to your point,
yeah,
it's hard enough to get a client. You make a client unhappy or don't do, you know, the best by them, they're never going to be your client again, and they're going to go tell five people that you suck. Well, what if you reverse that, right? Our business model is blow people away, turn them into ambassadors for our cause, and they go out and tell everybody how great we are, so we don't have to do the level of marketing that a lot of our competitors do simply because we're doing it through our work. So I think that's a lost message. I think a lot of people sort of hint at it. There's a lot of people that kind of talk about it today, but I think what you just said is that who's willing to invest in their long-term success versus just how do I make a quick buck?
Yeah, and I think in that journey, the payoffs are already there. Maybe they're not tons of new clients, but the other payoff is you're helping people. You're doing right. You feel good about what you're doing every day.
Yes.
And for me, like if I see a 5-star review come through or a referral from a client, I'm way more excited than if I just signed a new client. Signing a new client makes me worried because I'm like, oh, hope we don't mess up. Did we do everything right? Are we going to like kick butt for them? Are we going to knock it out of the park? Versus like, which I'm happy to sign new clients, but it's...
Yeah, I get it. So it's a solid responsibility that you feel.
Yes, exactly. So when I see that review, that's like, okay, we did do a good job. I got a referral. Okay, we did do a good job. It's just constantly improving that experience. Like I have a dedicated team now that's just experienced customer journey, like, you know, trying to improve that all the time. And so it's an investment, but you know you're doing the right things, and then your team knows you're doing the right things. They stay longer or forever. If they don't feel good about what they're doing, they won't stick around because it's just toxic to them. Whether or not they can put their finger on it or not, it's just not a good way to do business.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah. And I think one of the other challenges, so like, let's say like entrepreneurs that are listening to that, maybe started their law firms recently, or maybe you're looking to start your law firm. I talked to quite a few people that they haven't started yet. They're like, hey, I'm about to leave my firm and start one. And I kind of coach a few, and I'm talking to them about how they can best do that and what the things they need to look out for. But I think you might have good intentions in a lot of cases, and then you get busy, and then you're running and gunning, and that shit goes out the window.
Yeah.
Customer experience, communication, and now it's just, I got to work. I'm busy. And so I feel like a lot of people can get stuck there, and it takes you a while to dig out of that mindset and that mode. If you're trying to pay the bills, I'm trying to do these cases, I'm trying to work, and then you forget about those things that you had probably good intentions to do, you know?
Yeah. Can I comment on that? Because I think that's a really good point.
Absolutely.
A lot of times when people ask me about selfless service, their concern is that they're going to go broke in the process. And so what I always tell people is I'm like, look, you don't have to go all in like I did. You know, I just happen to be a unique individual that has a high tolerance for pain and was able to endure, right? Like, I'm not suggesting that everybody goes out and does that. What I'm just suggesting is in the moment, whatever interactions you're going to have, whether it's a potential client, whether it's a partner, whoever it is, instead of bringing the what's in it for me mindset stapled to your forehead, bring the what's in it for them. And that requires you the ability to care, right? So a lot of people can't do it because they just don't give a crap, right? They're like, don't really care. So you have to care. You have to be willing to like listen and probe with good questions to identify the needs that aren't just inherently obvious. And you have to be willing to actually act upon the things that are of service. So from a mindset standpoint, when I show up to a meeting, my thought is I'm not going to walk away until I've identified 3 tangible things I can do to help that person. If I haven't identified 3 tangible things, and I don't mean sell them my service and pay me a bunch of money. I mean things that I could do to be of service to them. The magic number that I've learned is 3. 1, when somebody gets something, it's like, wow. 2 is like, man, these guys really are amazing. 3 is like, holy crap, who are these people? So the power of three, you know, and if you, and some of them might be a referral on a book. Some of them might be helping their kid. Like, I'm always trying to think holistically about the person and how do I actually add value to their world versus just how do I talk them into hiring me as fast as possible so I can get on to the next one. That mindset shift, whether you do it perfectly or not,
yeah,
the mindset shift from what's in it for me and, oh, let me talk more about me and, hey, did I mention that this is about me, which is how everybody comes across, whether they realize it or not, and this mindset of I'm truly here to serve. I truly want to help. And, you know, I come up with solutions all the time for my clients that save them money where it makes me the least amount of money possible. And I'm psyched to do it because I get that in that moment, they know that as well. And they know that they just received an act of service that wasn't in my personal short-term best interest, but it is in my long-term because now they trust me. They know I got their back and I'm not going to lose a client, right? So I think if you have that long-term mindset, regardless of whether you're brand new starting your own law firm right now, whether you're in the middle of, you know, growing a firm, or whether you're fully built out and humming, if you bring a mindset of I'm here to help, how can I help, and really bring selflessness to every conversation, I think you look back in 30 days and you'll be amazed at how much value you created where before you thought you had to sell. I don't do any selling, right? I'm not saying I don't explain what we do. Of course I do. But in my conversations, if I'm talking about me, I'm in the wrong conversation. I want to be talking about them. I want to be understanding them. I want to be exploring what their needs are, what their challenges are, what their opportunities are. And if I'm in their conversation, then I tend to win. If I'm in my conversation, I come off as yet another sales guy.
Man, I love it. Well, I would hope you think we're kind of aligned there. We've met with you. So I've met with Jonathan and his team to see if we can help them with some marketing.
Selflessly.
We've had two conversations. Mm-hmm. Money wasn't even mentioned at all at this point because we don't even know where Jonathan should go. He doesn't know yet either. We're just discovery talks. And so it's how do we understand his business enough to where we can even recommend anything? I don't even know if we can do anything for him or we should. You know, that's an example, I think, of where me and Jonathan have kind of a very similar type of way we do business. I don't sell anything.
No.
Like, I don't like selling. I like, hey, here's what I think you should do. Let's look at the data. What do you think?
Well, but even when you walked up to me at the conference, you just offering free advice. And I was like, wow, that's really good stuff. Thank you. You know, that's what I mean. You do embody that. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be doing this podcast, right? Like, I like to work with people that are aligned. I find that is a much happier existence.
Yeah. And I always say that because I'm not trying to get you to validate how we do business, but I'm saying it because it's worked very well for me. And I've been like sales training and, salespeople will be like, oh, you know, don't ever say these things or email people saying you're checking in with them. And so, like, I don't want to use those tactics and push people to do business with us. Like, that is not what I want. If I haven't pushed them to do business with me, we're already got a bad, potential bad situation there.
Yeah.
They need to feel completely comfortable and come to me and say, hey, we're ready to get going. Let's roll. Okay, cool. That's great. I'll send you the paperwork. Do you understand the terms? Do you understand what we're going to do? The expectations, like, making sure that this is going to be a good fit, or maybe it's not the best to do that work with them. So It's the opposite of what, again, salespeople would train you or coaches and stuff like that would say to do. Half the stuff I do is like frowned upon.
Yeah. Lean in. Helps. We all know how to love, right? I mean, it's not complicated either. Treat them like you would treat the person in your family you love the most, your mom, your wife, your brother, whoever it is. Think about them when you're with that person and pour yourself into them and you'll be amazed at the bond that is quickly created. You know, Stephen Covey calls it speed to trust. When you're helping people and you're in their world versus what's in it for me, I always say, like, to your point earlier about how you had success, I'm like, that's just the scoreboard. The game is service. The scoreboard is how much money did you make? How big is your firm? You know, you and I both check those boxes, but that's not what it's about for me, right? It's about the game. I like the game of service, and it makes my life very fulfilling, and I'm surrounded by people that I've helped versus people that I've screwed over, you know, and that's a very different kind of community.
And then kind of to tie it all together, you know, your book is, what's the title of the book again?
You Don't Have to Be Ruthless to Win. It's the book right behind me that you can see with the slash. It's a black book, ruthless across the top, and a blue slash through it.
So, yeah, when I first saw it from the distance at the conference, it's like, ruthless. Oh, that must be a badass book. And I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. So check out that book for sure. We'll get that as we post this. We'll publish it out there in a link for everyone to check out.
And in the book, what I try to do is make it so that anybody that's interested in this philosophy, if you're not, don't pick up my book because that's all I talk about. But if you're interested in this philosophy, I try to pack everything that I've learned about how to create success through service into it. And it's industry agnostic, right? I didn't design it for commercial real estate firms. I designed it for business leaders to say, how do we incorporate this into our business?
Love it.
And win, right? It's called You Don't Have to Be Ruthless to Win for a reason. It's not just, hey, do the right thing because it feels good. All that's good and beneficial, but this is about winning. This is about success. This is about making money and doing it the right way. And that's what I talk about in the book.
That's why I love it so much, right? And I think, you know, tying it all together is if you're doing it this way, you're helping people and you're not selling, you know, you're just helping people find the right answer and maybe it's you. Your folks, your people, your culture, the people doing the work. In my case, I got account managers or people that work with the clients or my strategist or my, you know, my top people, the way they act and carry themselves and they care about the client and figure out what's the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. And I involved them in my process. Obviously, you met a few of my folks. The whole company's transformed and different, right?
Yeah.
If you're cutthroat and you're selling hardcore, like it just carries throughout. Your culture will be completely different, right? Than if they see the owner or the person doing sales are truly there to help and doing the right things, make the right recommendations. The whole team transforms. And honestly, yeah. If we sign someone, the team is like, you shouldn't assign them. We don't think we can help them. This is not the right combination of services. Like
yes.
They get stressed the hell out. Like this isn't going to work for them. Like, you know, they're worried about them the whole time.
Yeah.
And that is what you want to accomplish, right?
Couldn't agree more.
Well, I'm happy that I'm at a pretty good spot with that.
I think you are. I think you're nailing it, my friend.
Well, again, you know, it's just for me, I mean, I used to have 3 salespeople full-time underneath me and all. It's never worked out. Cold calling, hassling people. I've always hated it. I hate it now. And we don't do it. We have not done it.
And I would argue it's ineffective. Like I say in my book, it's like 1 hour of selfless service beats 10 hours or 100 hours of cold calling every day of the week. So if you really want to be a badass, go figure out how many people you could strategically help and see how much comes your way. But you got to care about the long game. You got to be focused on the long game.
Completely. I don't know how many clients I've had that come through. They're like, yeah, we're not going to go with you guys. We're going to go with this bigger company or this other company or whatever. 6 months later, I treated them well. They always felt comfortable and trusted us. They just chose maybe someone else that's cheaper or whatever. Maybe they were pushier and they ended up signing with them. And they come back and they say, we liked everything you guys were about. We're coming back. And now what can you do for us? And that's always a great moment. Yeah.
I agreed.
And he's like, all right, I wasn't going to push them anyway. And they come back and we're here to help you, you know?
And you can demonstrate in that, you know, I think it's the best time when somebody else is selected, that's the best time to lean into service because it proves that you're not just there for the sale and then screw you, I'm out of here. You're actually there for the relationship. I think that's a very powerful thing you just said.
No, I totally agree with you on that. You know, I don't know how many law firm owners I've spoke to that, you know, didn't go forward with us or didn't do some of that. I still talk to, I've had them on the podcast. They don't have to be a client of mine. Yeah, there's so many rewards, you know, is how you carry yourself and how you guys do business and not all just financial, but the financial rewards come.
They come.
And just got to be patient and, you know, all that'll be right behind it. So,
well, to, you know, go back to my early missionary kid days, I was taught give and you shall receive, right? I think people forget about the and you shall receive. They just focus on the give. It's like the give's good. But the point is that if you give, you get. And so that's what I'm trying to show people is this is a self-interested strategy I'm describing. Selflessness, in my opinion, is selfish. It's self-interested. people are like, what does that even mean? Well, I just think that if you behave selflessly, you win more. And that's selfish. That's self-interested. So, you know, it's a little bit of a brain twist for people. But once you get your arms around it and you lean in, the experience is better. You have more long-term sustainable success. You don't have to look over your shoulder as much. Like, it's just a better way to live. And that's my mission is I want the business world to get this. And if
I love it.
If by the time I, you know, pass, the business world is operating this way, what a huge, amazing new world we've just created. And I think it'll help have implications that are far reaching and possibly be the most transformative thing ever in business, right? If we can take business from being a me to you, understanding that by being you, it helps me, then I think everybody wins.
Amen, 100%. I mean, think about how many businesses they start by figuring out the money side of it first, right? So you're not even thinking about the client in the beginning stages. Like, you're just thinking about how much money can we make? Okay.
Yeah.
What are we going to do for the clients? I don't know yet. Let's figure that out. So completely backwards. So I definitely need to read the book. I'm going to pick me up a copy, and I'm excited about that. One of the things I was going to add to what you said there was, I can't remember what it was.
I'm sure it was really good.
It was really good. It was going to be the best thing you've ever heard. But I don't want to, like, you know, take all your
build the suspense. Build the suspense. Well, you'll share it on the next episode of this fantastic podcast.
Oh man, just amazing stuff. I mean, it's just the way we should be doing business.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you inviting me on. I appreciate our friendship. I appreciate the approach that you take, and I'm excited for what we can do together in the long term.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, please check out Jonathan. Connect with him. If you want to get his, you know, connect with him on LinkedIn or by email, I can definitely do that for you. So reach out to me. Check out his book, You Don't Have to Be Ruthless to Win. I'm sure that's on Amazon somewhere, Jonathan, right?
All the places. It's on Audible. If you listen to it on Audible, having listened to this, know that they made me talk really slow. So you're going to have to, like, probably 2x it for it to even sound like me.
Put it on 0.25 or something like
that. Yeah, right, exactly.
Bang it out. Well, Jonathan, I really appreciate everything. Law firms out there, listen, if you need new commercial space.
Well, think about it like this. Regardless of where you're at in the space process, right? If you have a lease with multiple years left, or you're thinking, how do I grow? Or you're thinking, my space sucks and I need new space. Whatever it is, for any member of this community, we'll do a free analysis, a free review of your lease, and give you some thoughts and ideas and brainstorm with you. So you could reach us at Keyser.com, KEYSER.com. 602-9-KEYSER is KEYSER, is also our phone number. So always happy to help. And of course, if you reach out through Kevin, then Kevin will make sure that I give you extra love on the process.
There you go. I appreciate that. Yeah, knowing Jonathan now for a few months, you'll be taken care of. And so reach out if you got questions. Yeah, even if you're a few years out, you know, this kind of stuff takes a while and you got to be planning. All right. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone else have...
Thank you for having me, my friend.
Yeah, everyone have a great day. Grow your law firms, but do it the right way.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.